Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening, and welcome to the broadcast today. This is, as you already know, not Pastor Al Davis, though he is doing much better. This is Pastor John Lutz, and I have the privilege to fill in on this Sunday night once again to spend some time with you going through some of the Bible. We do have some special guest that's going to be calling in here in just a little bit, hopefully. So while we're waiting for them to call in, just let me tell you a little bit about our church. We are the North Coast Baptist Church. We're in the city of Lakewood, and we have been there now a little over 16 years, and we would love for you to come on out and visit with us at our church. And we're located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood, Ohio, 44107. And of course, I want to thank Pastor Al for allowing me to be with you again today. All the information with his church will come up both at the bottom and at the end of the hour with all of his details as well. But I hope you had a wonderful Sunday in the Lord's house. We had some wonderful services. Boy, I tell you, Sunday morning was this morning was just a wonderful, wonderful spirit. We had a great time in the Lord's house, and I'm just so thankful for what God's been doing. I think we saw 6 new faces again today. I'm telling you, there's just some great, great things going on right now at our church, and so we're thankful for that. Well, it looks as though that our special guest has called in, and so we want to welcome to his own show, Pastor Al Davis. Hey, Pastor Al, how are you?
Oh, thank you, Pastor Lutz. How are you doing tonight?
We are doing wonderful. More importantly, how are you doing tonight? It's a blessing to be able to talk to you.
I am alive.
Well, amen. I hope so. Otherwise, we got bigger issues, right? So
I am doing so much better, and I certainly want to thank everybody that's been praying for me. It's made a world of difference. For those who don't know, of course, I decided to be one of the COVID statistics that got to stay in the hospital.
You did your best to try to avoid it. I'll give you that.
Well, you know, I was optimistic that that if I got it, it would be like what most people got.
Yeah.
Most people around me that have had it, well, you yourself have had it, and it wasn't that big of a deal.
Right.
My wife and I both came down with it on the 15th. She was she gets tested at work for her job, and she called home. It was a Friday evening or afternoon, and she said, "I just got my test from yesterday, and I'm positive." She come home, looked at me, and said, "Boy, you look awful flushed." I had done the radio program on Friday, and I was tired because I'd been up late and all that, and I didn't think I was coming down with the coronavirus.
Yeah.
And I started developing symptoms that night, as did my wife. We both were generally achy and headachy and tired. And it just progressed on Saturday. And she was coughing a little bit more than I was. I was optimistic at the time that it wasn't going to be too bad.
Right.
Just kept kind of progressing. And I'm very thankful. A couple things that have made, I think, things possible that the Lord used, certainly in answer to people's prayers, is I was able to get on hydroxychloroquine and Zithromax early on.
Mm-hmm.
Over the first weekend, or there by Monday, I think I was on that. And that probably did a lot to alleviate some of my symptoms early on, which probably kept it from getting as bad as it could have been.
Sure.
And again, you know, President Trump got a lot of a lot of criticism, and he's still getting criticism from his handling of the coronavirus pandemic.
Right.
But it's really because of the foresight that we had in the Trump administration to sort of remove some of the restrictions on the FDA and to streamline some of their procedures. And many people can probably remember early on where he was recommending hydroxychloroquine.
Right.
And of course, all the liberals, all the people on the left were just going apoplectic and, and he was killing people. Well, in reality, that making that possible for that to be used, it really makes a lot of difference for a lot of people, I think. And then, of course, my wife started getting better. She actually never did take hydroxychloroquine or anything.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, which means that I somehow or another got a worse case of it than what she did.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, by the 19th, which was Tuesday afternoon, I started developing a fever. And my wife never got that. So I was very thankful.
Yeah.
And the achiness continued, the headaches continued, the fever continued. I could not break the fever. It would kind of lighten up a little bit, but then it would be back. And it just seemed like as it would come back, it would start getting a little bit worse and a little bit worse. And by Saturday, that was probably one of the most miserable afternoons and evenings that I had.
Oh, wow.
It just, the headaches got really bad. And by Sunday, I noticing I was getting more short of breath. And so I was checking my pulse ox. And by Monday morning, my pulse ox was dropping down into the 80s. And if I could give any advice to people, if you can get one of these little home things that you put on the end of your finger, you can get them, I think, at a lot of the CVS's and drugstores and things like that.
Yeah.
Mark's even carries them. It's a handy thing to have because what happened was when my pulse ox got down into the 80s, I was getting very short of breath. I did not realize it, but I was developing pneumonia.
Oh, wow.
And so my wife was actually cleared to go back to work last Monday. And she talked to her supervisor, and they said, no, take me into the hospital. So we went into Akron Summa Hospital. We're down here more in the Akron area.
Yeah.
And they got me into the ER, checked my pulse ox. It was like 87. They put me on 6 liters of oxygen immediately, and they started checking me out and got me going with some IVs and steroids, and then on oxygen, and got a chest x-ray and found out that I had developed they call it COVID-caused pneumonia.
Okay.
So it's with what happens is the virus pulls liquid into your lungs. And so, and again, this is another testimony to the foresight of the Trump administration with opening up the FDA regulations and streamlining things, because there's an experimental drug at the time that they started testing called remdesivir. And many people may remember that the president had that when he developed coronavirus.
Right.
Well, I actually did some research into it, and apparently they had developed it as a multi-spectrum antiviral in hopes of using it against Ebola. But they didn't get much success with that, so they started testing it some years ago against coronaviruses, and specifically SARS and MERS.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having good results with it. So last April, because of the streamlining on the FDA, they were able to open up human trials and test it for the COVID-19 virus, which is another coronavirus.
Right.
And they were having such promising results that by the time they got to October, they were starting to administer it to people routinely. So when I got checked into the hospital on Monday, they got me into a room, and they immediately started a five-course treatment with the remdesivir.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one thing. It has to go through your IV once a day for 5 days. So that was Monday through Friday. And then they, of course, put me on some steroids to help with the opening up the lungs and everything, and different things to draw off liquid, and began responding to it. And by Thursday afternoon, they were able to take me off the oxygen completely. And I was breathing on my own without any problems.
Mm-hmm.
And maintaining a good pulse ox and just general improvements. But so by Friday, they said, you should be able to go home.
Yeah.
So my wife picked me up at the hospital Friday evening and brought me home. And I've still got some prescriptions to take to help keep things going. But I am just very thankful to the Lord for helping me get the care that I needed and getting me into the hospital when I did.
Yeah.
And for everybody that was praying, because I really do believe that it's the prayers of God's people that God answers. He's the great physician.
Amen.
And so I just, again, can't express enough thanks to everybody. I just, because of the complications and everything, very tired, get tired very easy. In fact, I've had more strength today than I've had in a while. As a consequence, I've not been able to do much online or anything because I just tire out. I had heard people tell me about a brain fog when you have coronavirus,
mm-hmm,
and COVID-19, and I can attest to that.
Oh, yeah, right. Blame it on coronavirus. I got you.
I'm a news junkie. I love following the news. But, you know, by about 5 days into this, mm-hmm, I just couldn't concentrate to follow the news. The last thing I clearly watched news-wise was President Trump, you know, when he spoke on the 20th before leaving Joint Base Andrews.
Yeah.
That's about the last I really followed the news, because
wow,
just too much. It's just too much effort, tired me out too much.
Oh, you've missed a whole plethora of of news cycles. We're already beyond that. We're on our third cycle since then. So,
oh my! In many respects, I'm so thankful because I haven't felt stressed out by the Biden administration. I still can't even believe I say Biden administration, but
it's amazing.
You know, God is good.
Yeah.
And his people are still here and praying and serving.
Yeah.
And as long as God gives us the opportunity, we've got work to do, don't we?
We sure do. And one of the things that's coming out is people who were silent before are really starting to speak up now. They're really starting to get involved, which is a good result, because you want an informed electorate, and they've got to be involved. And for too long, we've just let everybody else do it, and they know that. They've just kind of taken advantage of us all. And so I'm glad, mm-hmm, that people are waking up. I still think... that conspiracy side of you is kind of like, I just don't think it's over yet. Something's still going on. And I don't know. And I heard some rumors even today about some military things that were very promising, and from some people that I know, people who have family members around it and in it. And I don't know. I mean, obviously our trust is in the Lord. I think the Bible says it's better to put your trust in the Lord than in princes, right? So... there are good people who have governed well, and you want to follow them, and you want to do that, and certainly Biden is just if you didn't understand what vitriol or vengeance was, just watch this administration, because everything is just vengeful, every bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difficult part, because they apparently have power, right? And they're using it. And And they're when you have evil people do that, there's no telling. They have no boundaries because their conscience is so seared. I guess I don't know if that's the right word, but so void of any function. They have no boundaries to what they would do. So it is difficult, unusual times, that's for sure.
Well, that is true, but at the same time, you know, if you think about it, God's people have always, I think, shown their strongest tendencies to be able to serve God and trust God during more difficult times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
We get at ease in Zion, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. Woe unto them, that's for sure. Yeah, you're correct. And you know, I've been reminding our church just how important it is right now to just stand, do the right thing. Like the Bible says in Isaiah 59, once truth has fallen in the streets, equity cannot enter in. And it says, and they that depart from evil make themselves a prey. And mm-hmm. And that's where we're at. And Jesus warned us of this as well, that, hey, they hate me, they're going to hate you. They remember my words, they're going to remember your words. And so don't marvel when they come, but consider it an honor to be called upon by God to suffer that way. But Pastor, I'll tell you, finding that balance, you know, and I guess I've always looked at it in the past, maybe a starker balance, but it really is intertwined. When you stand for freedom and you stand for liberty and those things, that is the essence of Christianity. It's not a, you know, well, here's my American view, here's my Christian view. If you find the founding principles, it really was one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I've been spending a lot of time on the Declaration of Independence and just kind of going over it and thinking about it, memorizing some of it, and just and it really got under conviction this last week about just committing myself to that pledge, you know, at the end. When they pledge themselves, based upon the firm reliance of protection of divine providence, they pledge themselves their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And I think that's what we've rode the coattails of their pledges, and it's time for us, our generation, to say, you know what? No, it's our turn now.
Yes, and as you mentioned that, talking about divine providence. A lot of people don't fully understand or appreciate the recognition of God that's in the Declaration of Independence. And so even though we call it a Declaration of Independence because it was a Declaration of Independence from England,
yeah,
it's really a Declaration of Dependence on divine providence upon God.
Yeah, that's what I talked about on Friday on the broadcast. Was that very truth. You know, it's a declaration of independence of what? They were in dependence of God's grace. They were in dependence of God's government and his mm-hmm. principles. So yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. That's and I think people miss that. I remember Dr. Thompson, when he preached at our church years ago before he went to be with the Lord, you know, he preached out of John chapter 8, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he just talked about freedom. And he said something that always stuck with me, is freedom is doing what we ought to do, not what we want to do. And and our young people don't understand that. Our young people today, they want to do what they want to do. They don't want to do what they ought to do because they haven't been taught the right things to do. And that's shame on our churches, shame on our homes, shame on those who have the ability and the responsibility to teach the right things and just haven't been doing it. We've lost an entire generation of young people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was refreshing today. We had three young men show up at the church. We have been having some younger families and stuff come, but we had three young men come in. I was just so elated. I thought, well, praise the Lord. You know, we got some young guys coming in. That's what we need is some guys to stand up and, you know, live for the Lord and do what's right and just trust the Lord. And when you think about that divine providence, as we mentioned, Hebrews 11 kind of came alive for me. And even in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they say, you know, our God's going to deliver us from this fiery furnace, but they said, but if not, You know, let it be known. We're not going to bow down to these statues. We're not going to bow down to your music. And I thought to myself, you know, that's firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. And that's the pattern of why men and women were able to accomplish so much for God, because they just resolved God is worthy of any sacrifice that we make or called to make. And the people are willing to do it. And I'm thankful yourself and many other preachers that I look to that are on the front lines. And I told you this the other day, I'm thankful that God's not done with you. I'm thankful that he's risen you back up, because we need you on the front lines. These are the moments. These are the times where, you know, it's our turn to stand up and trust the Lord as we fight.
Yeah. And, you know, and you're thinking about that and being in the fight like that, we've come through the last 4 years where God really blessed in our country, where he raised up a champion of Christians in this country. And not just of the Christians, but of the unborn children and the Jewish people in Israel.
Yeah.
And we've seen a glimpse of what can happen, you know, on the secular side of things. But I think tying some of this together, what we're now going to have to see, because that's been removed, obviously the current administration is no friend of Christianity.
That's right.
It is no friend of the unborn children.
That is right.
No friend of Israel, the Jewish people.
Yeah.
But hopefully God's people will come together. You know, I look at it in kind of like a microcosm. My church, because we're a small church, as a pastor of a small church, I do a lot and probably do more than I should do and not let people do enough. And being sick, being removed from the situation for a couple of weeks, I've really had to learn to depend on fellow Christians in my church to keep things going, to keep things together. And to see the church pull together has been such an incredible blessing. I'm just so thankful for that.
Yeah.
But you know what? That, like I said, is like a microcosm. I think now, I think some Christians have become too dependent on the Trump administration.
Yeah.
And now that that's removed, we have to look more to God directly, and we have to look more to each other, and we have to start pulling together and encouraging one another and lifting up one another in prayer. We've been given a taste of what it's like when the righteous are in authority and the people rejoice, but now we're seeing when the wicked bear rule and the people mourn.
Yeah.
But through it all, God has got to be the one that we look to first and foremost. Not righteous leaders, not wicked leaders, but we look to God for our direction. We look to God for our strength. We look to him for our encouragement. I was giving a short little message to our church today online from Proverbs 14:14, and it talks about a good man be satisfied from his own self. I'm probably not quoting that exactly right at the moment, but as I was going through it and developing it, the thought was the idea that if you're filled with God, the Word of God, the things of God, the thoughts of God, that's what's going to satisfy. Because remember Jesus in John 4, where he talked about having the water springing up, the water of life springing up from within you?
Yeah.
It doesn't come from you. It comes from God working in you.
Right.
And this is what I think the great challenge is going to be for our people here in you know, the weeks, the months, the however long we have before the Lord comes back for us. Mm-hmm. We've got to be dependent on God and allow the Spirit of God to bubble up in us and speak through us and use us so that we can counter what's going on in the world and be that force for good, that force that directs people to God and encourages people in these days ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely, I was thinking, my mind just went blank. I just had that brain fog you were talking about. So I forget where I was going to go there, but certainly it's so true that, I know I was going to go, over to Peter real quick and look at 1 Peter chapter 2, where, you know, we find about the suffering of Christ. And, you know, I learned a long time ago that the definition, I believe the definition of a minister can be found when Jesus says, you know, he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. And I think that's the idea behind a minister, is really giving their life as a ransom for others. And when we look at the suffering of Christ in 1 Peter, it says, you know, he left us an example. We should follow his steps. He suffered for us. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. But I love this phrase. It says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And it's so important for God's people just to live right now. I mean, it's always been, of course, but just to do the right thing. And if we get persecuted for doing the right thing, then we're in great company with the Lord himself, but also the disciples and all of those that we don't even know the names of, but we're going to see in heaven. And I'm trying to encourage our people. There's, you know, some people, if you're right with God, you want Jesus to come. There's no doubt about it, yeah. Right? You can relate with Paul. I'm in a strait betwixt. You know, I want to go be with the Lord, but man, I know when I'm, if he hasn't taken me, I know I have purpose here. I know I have a reason here. And Brother Al, we just got a couple of minutes before break here at the end of the, are you going to be able to stay with us for the second half hour? Or at least some of it?
I don't know how much longer. I'll
I got you.
For a little bit. Like I said, my strength is not quite what it should be.
I understand.
But I do enjoy the conversation, and it is so good to be able to be back on.
Amen. What I was going to say was I was encouraging our people not to pray and ask God, well, Lord, just come quickly. And I'm asking people when they tell me that, why do you want them to come quickly? Because you don't want to suffer? Because that's not a right intention to do that, because we ought to commit ourselves to the Lord in a willingness to suffer, not a wantingness to suffer, but a willingness to suffer just for doing the right thing. You know, we're watching people lose their jobs. We're watching people, you know, get shut down and those things. And yeah, they're difficult, and it makes it more difficult to exercise freedom of speech. And, but we always have speech, right? It's a gift. It's a right from God. It's just, we're going to have to understand there's going to be consequences involved now for speaking the truth. But that's what we're called to do. That's, to me, putting on the whole armor of God. And girding those loins up with truth and putting on that breastplate of righteousness and being ready to use every opportunity of war to preach the gospel, having those feet prepared to go wherever, and taking that shield of faith and taking that sword of the Spirit, putting on that helmet of salvation, and going and standing against, I love that, five times, against the wiles of the devil, against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. So, you know, it is. We're going to need to stand up. We're going to need to be the salt and be the light that God wants us to be.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to go back to something you were talking about the Lord's appearing, and why do we look forward to it? Paul in 2 Timothy 4:8 said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only. Then he says this, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And I've preached on this in the past, and I've asked the question, do you love his appearing, or do you love your disappearing? Which is it you're looking forward to more?
Amen. That's a good way, brother.
Because when Paul was saying this, that love his appearing, he was looking forward to hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen, brother. Well, we're coming up against a break here, so I'm going to hold you off there real quick, and we'll come back right after the break here.
Pastor Al. I'm your late night live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
All right. Well, we are back with you, and we have the distinct privilege to have the host of this show as a guest on our show today. So you still there, Pastor Al?
I am still here. Thank you for filling in for me. I appreciate that. You've been filling in for me on our Friday afternoon program. And, of course, last week on the radio, you were here Sunday night. And it's such a blessing to be able to have people that God's put in my life that I can rely on and feel confident that when they're doing the program that I don't have too much to worry about.
Well, praise the Lord.
What you doing there?
I don't know who those people are, but thanks for letting me help out.
I'm not sure either yet myself. I'm still looking.
Well, we were talking before the break. I felt horrible cutting you off, but we got towards end there. So,
and before we get going, I do want to remind people, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Stuff will probably be a little behind on there for a little while yet. But as I start gaining strength back, I'm trying to get back into doing a few things. I work away at it as I can. I remember a long time ago, we had a guy in our church, he got saved, he was 79 years old, I believe, and I remember he was in his 80s, and he was digging, trying to find his septic line, and he had a big trench across his backyard, and we said, "Frank, why didn't you ask us to help?" He goes, "Nah, I do it the same way I eat my dinner, just a bite at a time." He said he'd go out, he'd dig a little till he felt tired, he'd go back in, do something else.
He said,
"I got time, not too big a hurry." So I'm just trying to pace myself. That was good advice. I think there used to be a joke called "How do you eat an elephant?" You know, of course, the answer was one bite at a time.
Right.
But I have found that the value in slowing down and taking some time to get some rest and just kind of build strength back up when I start to get a little tired. But every day a little better. Yeah. And again, appreciate everybody who's been praying for us. And looking forward to the day that I'll be back to full strength.
Amen. Any idea? Now you have to stay somewhat in probably quarantine or something. Are you? I know Friday you're on at 1:30. Are you going to be able to be back? Or are you still in quarantine till when?
I should be quarantined till Wednesday or Thursday.
Wednesday or Thursday. Okay.
Friday, I should be. You know, barring any unforeseen developments,
sure.
Friday, I should be in the studio live.
Sure. Okay.
And then we will have our Friday night Bible study at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. And that information, of course, will be given later in the program.
Yeah.
And then, Lord willing, a week from tonight, I will be in the studio for the first time in a couple of weeks. it's just been so bizarre not being there after having been there, you know, every Sunday night for so long. It just seems kind of weird.
Do you find yourself... itching to get in that pulpit, itching to get behind the radio.
I do.
Yeah, that's a good thing, amen. That's a good thing.
I told my wife earlier this evening after church, we were using some online tools to help out with church so I could, you know, be there for the service online and even share a short message.
Yeah.
And after we were done and we were just kind of eating before, you know, getting ready for the radio program tonight, I told my wife, I said, I must be getting better. I'm starting to feel a little bored. Starting to look for things to do.
Yeah.
So there for a while, I just had no energy to think about doing anything. And I'm feeling stronger every day.
Well, amen.
I appreciate that.
Well, there's no doubt the Lord gives us times where, you know, he says it's time to rest. And however that happens, he allows it. We don't always understand it, certainly, but at the end, I think many times you look and appreciate it, and you know, it helps reset something. Like you said, even moving forward, you can. It's almost like a great reset for yourself, Pastor Al. So
not quite the great reset,
not the same type, but you know,
later,
but certainly it does makes you take a step back and you know, you start to appreciate things that. You know, that are so precious. Life is so precious, and our health is so precious, you know.
One thing with family and church and friends and things like that, it's just been good. And really, I was pushing a lot with the political stuff, too, because, you know, we never could tell what the Lord was going to do, and we were trying to get out as much information as we could. In such a short period of time, and so I really wasn't getting the sleep that I needed and things.
Right.
And, you know, now the push is over, and we just have to go with the reality of the situation and just to rely on the Lord. And so I'm thankful that I'm able to make a break for it or from it for a little bit. And I'll be dipping my toes back in this week and starting to look a little bit more and starting to post a little bit more and gradually getting back into things. But again, trying to help provide information to alert God's people what's going on. I mean, we do have some things that we want to be talking about in these coming months with, you mentioned the Great Reset. That's to me, that is so important because that's just setting the stage. The mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the devil's efforts to bring forth the world government and the Antichrist. It just, so much of that is coming together. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, where he talks about we're supposed to be watching. And then, of course, in Luke chapter 21, where the Lord himself encourages us to be looking up. And when we see these things begin to happen, that's when we're to be looking up because our redemption is drawing nigh. And so rather than be frightened, rather than being discouraged, I think these are some of the most exciting times right now to live as a Christian, living in anticipation that we may very well be in that last time frame leading up to the catching away of the believers that we call the rapture,
right?
To be caught up to be with the Lord. And can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven, people wanting to talk to us and say, what was it like to be living in those days just before knowing the rapture was going to take place?
Yeah.
And I've said before many times, I think the other generation that can kind of anticipate some of this, could you imagine talking to people who were alive in the first century saying, what was it like knowing that you were at the time that the Messiah was going to come? And that anticipation,
yeah.
You know, there's certain key times in human history where God has poised to intervene dramatically in human events.
Yeah.
And it's not that he did it completely out of the blue. I mean, there's scripture, there's prophecy that lets us know. And I believe he alerts people just like at the time of his birth. You know, we had, remember Simeon, the man, the elder man who had been told by
yeah.
the Spirit of God
right.
that he was going to see the Lord's consolation. And then there was, who was the lady?
Anna?
I can't think of her name right now.
Anna
yes.
Yeah.
Who was told she wasn't going to pass until she had seen the Messiah, basically.
Yeah.
What a time to live in. And now, you know, the Bible said that when we saw, you know, Israel come back together and these things taking place, that generation
yeah.
would not pass before these things come to fruition. And so it's exciting. It really is.
It really is. And you read Matthew 24 today, and it's like you're scrolling down the Drudge Report's gone, you know, to the wolves, but
yeah.
it's like the old, reading one of those portals, that's what I'm like, a news portal, like, man, mm-hmm. you read it and you're like, it's right here. It's right there.
Yeah.
We just don't know the extent of how much more it's going to be, but I mean, God told us, and I was thinking about Matthew 24, because there's really the three questions there when they say, when shall these things be? Talking about, hey, when are those stones going to get thrown down and every stone of the temple be taken down? What shall be the sign of thy coming? And then what shall be the sign of the end of the world? And you're mm-hmm. reading this and you're like, man, we are just, it's close. I mean, I know
yeah.
we can look back and there's probably indicators along the way, but then you add common sense in there and say, well, how much further down the road are we? And we're literally, you know, seeing the entire world is bubbling up. And if it's the birth pangs, you know, I have seven children, and those, they get closer and closer and closer and closer until the baby comes, and they get more mm-hmm. severe and stronger. And I think that's, I agree, Pastor. I think that's what we're looking at right now. And it is really exciting. And I think there's two responses that we're seeing, and one is fear. There's a fearfulness mm-hmm. about what's going on, and yet we've sat in our churches for 20 years or more, some a lot more, listening to this, and oh, this is what's coming, and amen, and now it's here. Now the rubber hits the road,
mm-hmm.
and the other side obviously is the faith side, and so you've got some responding in fear, and you've got some. The unhealthy fear, because we know there's a healthy fear, the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
But then you see the other side with that some are responding by faith. I told the church this morning, I believe God wants us to get to be like Jesus was fast asleep during the midst of the storm. Wouldn't it be great just to be able to sleep during the midst of the storm? I mean, that's what we're shooting for. You know, amen. So, but anyway, it is definitely, I agree with you. I think it's so exciting. You read Psalm chapter 2, why do the heathen rage? Boy, they are raging, aren't they?
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But you know something else, Brother John, that I think that we ought to think about? If we really believe we're in those last times, I think with a lot of our ministries, with a lot of the things that we're doing, we've got to start considering, what are we going to leave behind as a legacy if the rapture were to take place? You know, if
yeah.
we were to be called out of here, what are we going to leave behind that's going to not only our personal testimony, but I've really been convinced of this. I think that God's people ought to be buying some Bibles. Because who's going to be printing Bibles after we're gone? King James Bibles.
Yeah.
And they're not expensive to buy. You can go online. You can find some sources where you can get some good King James Bibles and put a box of them in your house.
Wow.
Because when we're gone and people come in looking for things, wouldn't it be nice if they can find the most important thing they're going to need to get them through the tribulation period?
Yeah, that's pretty creative. I've never thought of it that way. So that's pretty good. I'm writing notes, brother. So
my wife and I actually have a small box of Bibles in each of our cars.
Amen.
For just because, hey, if the rapture took place and you're out in the road, the car's there, somebody eventually is going to go through it, see what they can find.
Yeah, it's true.
And, you know, Amos warned about a famine of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And we really do see that. I mean, you can have a famine based on lack of food, or you can be starving with your stomach full. A lot of people don't realize that. It's nutritional deficiency. You know, you just eat junk food and candy.
Yeah.
And you feel full, but you're not getting nutrition and you're starving. And I think that's what's happening with a lot of people today. They're starving on spiritual junk food.
There's
a famine of the Word of God today, and if we can get some good Bible materials spread out amongst Christian homes, not just in the churches but in the homes, to where this stuff is going to be on hand. I mean, I really do feel that it's an important thing, because when they get a Bible, of course, you know, we hope and pray certainly that God will direct them and guide them. But how nice it would be that they could find some good Christian materials that would help explain salvation, that would help explain things that are happening. And this could be some of the things that we can do even now to help prepare, you know, for that eventual great reset and all that the world is planning for. Well, God's got a reset of his own coming in, doesn't he?
Boy, he sure does. And like Brother Bruce used to say, he's just letting him set it all up so he can come and say, checkmate. and say, hey, thank you, I'll take this now. And by the way, there was they met in Davos this last week, so I'm sure you'll get caught up on that.
I remember that was coming,
Yeah, there was some interesting. One guy actually said he was so thankful that the CEOs of the world saved the world with COVID, because they were stepped up to the plate and financed it. And so they're talking about the yoking up of the major businesses and government, you know, in this way.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's coming.
And sadly, a lot of Christians will be pulled into that. I had some people before I got sick online that were trying to tell me, and they're professing Christians. They go to, you know, like Presbyterian churches and things like that, mainline denominations.
Yeah.
And they're trying to tell me that, oh, this is a good thing. All these people coming together, all these religions coming together. What could be? You're just looking at it too negative.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand the scripture.
That's right. Well, it goes with what you were saying, too, is, you know, I mean, how many times does the Bible tell us that in the last days, false prophets were going to be out? And, you know, Peter equates that. He says, as there was false prophets in those days, there'll be false teachers in our days. And you really see the damage of perverting God's word, or at least attempting to try to pervert it, and the confusion that has been caused. I often, on my show on Fridays, talk about how destructive it's been. And really, you can parallel the culture. You can parallel our culture to, I mean, we're supposed to be a Christian nation, but in all reality, very rarely do you ever see a King James Bible quoted. You just know when you hear something, you're like, okay, that didn't even sound right. And yet, so they're so firmly convinced that what they have is the truth. And so it creates, I guess, even greater division. But that's part of the whole deception. And the Bible says it's in the last days. That's why I believe Paul told Timothy, listen, they're not going to listen to you. But even amazing, he said, they're not going to listen to you, but just preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, because they're not going to listen to you, but you have an accountability before God too. And who knows, maybe we'll pluck one out here and one over here. But, you know, and we know God can do anything. But I think as it winds down, and God winds us down, there's that old proverbial question of, well, will God find, will Jesus, when he comes, find faith on the earth? So the indication is it's going to be a whole lot less people that are going to be right with God before he comes. So, and mainly because the deception, evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So,
you know, when you said that, I was thinking of a parallel. Remember during the ministry of Jeremiah, and he had really an odd sort of ministry because he started ministering during a time of revival.
Right.
And he ministered into the fall of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but this is what reminded me when you were talking about the things that are happening today and how Paul in 2 Timothy 4 talked about people who do not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Remember when the Lord rebuked through Jeremiah the prophets and the teachers and things, and he said that they were basically perverting the scripture, perverting the doctrine. And then he made a sad commentary, which directly ties in with what Paul was saying here, said, my people love to have it so.
Yeah.
Isn't that, I mean, isn't that a sad parallel when you think about it?
It really is. And you look at the history of God's people in the Old Testament, of course, you know, New Testament Christian as well. It's just a pattern that that people, I guess it's ignorance. I guess it could be arrogance as well, ignorance or arrogance. But
oh, really, Laodicean church age.
What's that? Yeah, Laodicean church age. Yeah, that's right. So, but yeah, I'm trying to look up that passage. If it's, I don't know if it's the one in Jeremiah chapter 2 that was talking early on, or if it was later. But certainly, you know, the perversion of God's word. And where did it all start, Brother Al? Right in the garden. You know, it's I reminded a church today. You know, the devil's been messing with God's word since the beginning of time. He's been trying to get man not to know it, to change it, to take away from it, and men, you know, they fall for the old trap. And I love that verse that says, "And no scripture is given of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And it just, and then the very next verse in chapter 2, verse number 1, "But as there were false prophets in those days, there'll be false teachers shall creep in among you," which directly directly ties it to the word of God.
Yeah, I was going to say it's very successful because that's the very first thing that the devil did, remember, in the Garden of Eden. "Yea, hath God said."
Yeah. And he also, in that passage, he says, I'm turning it over there so I get the wording right. But he says, "For God doth know," and he loves to assume a position of God. And I often say, "Well, how do you know what God knows, Satan?" You know, but he assumes that position after he's got man to compromise on the word of God. He just flat out, you know, contradicts. Exactly. He says, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. So he takes that, which is a curse, and spins it as if it's some good thing. And just like we're seeing today, and there's a group of people that they take something that's been stay away from, but they try to put a positive spin on it, like it's something that's beneficial for man. And sadly, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And fools that are evil are dangerous people because they don't realize they're fools. But they will, won't they, Brother Al?
Mm-hmm.
They will one day. They're going to meet Jesus. They're gonna bow their head and their heart. They won't bow their heart. They're going to bow their head, and they're going to confess Jesus as Lord. And And, you know, this is what it's really all about. We're living in these last days. The Bible says that, you know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And we're talking to some people, Brother Al, that may be listening tonight that need to be saved. They don't know for sure. And we got about 2 minutes left, so why don't you finish us up here on the last couple of minutes, if you would.
Well, I'm fast running out of strength myself.
Okay, all right.
I'll say a couple more words and let you finish.
That sounds good. Okay.
I'm actually just thankful that I've been able to go on as long as I've gone on. I didn't expect to be able to last this long tonight, to be honest. I really didn't.
Yeah.
I'm just very
thankful.
I'm
glad you did.
And I am too. I was going to say again, I just want to express my profound thanks and appreciation to you and to everybody that's been praying for us. I've heard from churches in different states. I've heard from people outside of the country during this time.
Amen.
That God has just put me on their heart. They had me on their prayer list at church. And, you know, as a pastor, as a Christian, just to know that God can raise up people that care.
Amen.
That God can raise up people that you don't even know who are willing to pray for you.
Yeah.
Is such an encouragement. It's been such a blessing during this time. And I do want to thank everybody. I just can't express enough thanks and just praise the Lord for all that he has done. You know, going through this, I've never had to be in the hospital since I had my tonsils out when I was in the first grade.
Yeah.
So spending 5 days in the hospital, you know, obviously I was not in good condition.
Yeah.
Or they wouldn't have put me in for 5 days.
Yeah, we've got to teach you how to take a vacation, brother, not to go to a hospital. So, but
well, I can think of a better vacation than the hospital. But I'm so thankful.
Amen.
To be home and thankful to be on the mend. And again, looking forward to.
You've just listened
Amen,
to
brother.
Late Night
Thank
Live
so
with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7.